This is Vern Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Talking local on WILO.
The Party Line Crew.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
Oh, yeah, what a way to bring in the show, a little Linda Ronstadt. Boy, did I have a crush on her. Linda Ronstadt, Blue Bayou on this Thursday. It is Thursday. Hard to believe we already, golly, June 4th, Thursday. Party Line, Shan Sheridan with you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So glad to be with you, and always glad to hear Linda Ronstadt, Little Blue Bayou. It is Party Line, and we do welcome you to the show. Great show today. As I mentioned to you, Tuesday, before we get into all of our sponsors and get the weather in, we're going to be talking about segments of the show, whether it be 30 minutes. Sometimes today, we don't know. Our 9 o'clock guest is out in a camp, so we might, who knows, we might extend this a little bit today. But we are going to be talking all things America and where really did America come from leading up to the 4th of July, coming up in just a couple of 3 weeks, about 4 weeks, actually. From today, a month from today, we're going to be talking to a variety of different people. But I've asked my good friend Charles Bookwalter to kind of help me co-host and be a part of this. He's definitely a American. I would call him a revolutionist. And we're going to talk to him. We're going to bring him on in just a little bit. But he is definitely got a fire in his belly for our great country and what it stands for. And we're going to be talking about history and really breaking down some things from the founders, especially from a Judeo-Christian, the Judeo-Christian values that this country really started on. And some say, well, I don't know, I don't believe that. Well, you know what, we're going to try to do our best to just present the facts and talk about it and go from there. But before we do anything, we've got to thank our sponsors. TC Trailers, if you're not pulling a TC Trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon, big deals, save money now, 24/7. We love bigdeals.com. BoonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local news source. Little Linda still playing in the background. Your news source for Lebanon and Boone County, CarrollCountyDailyNews.com, your free local news service for Delphi and Flora. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper for everything Clinton County. The WILO Party Line telecast at HoosierLandTV.com is brought to you by 51 West Event Center, the Farmers Bank, Sheep's Country Foods, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big Old Tires in Lebanon, Arborwood by Sheep's, Wealthy Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, a community foundation serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Ellis Jewelers, Marchand's Window Tinting, VFW Post 1110, Frankfort, Copper Electric Services, LLC, Braden Business Systems, Avery Home Store, Lennon's, Lennon's Furniture and Mattress, Jerry's Body Shop, and Mann Chevrolet GMC in Delphi. Those folks all helping us bring you the Party Line and the Hoosierland TV broadcast each and every day. Speaking of today, sunny with a high near 84. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 64. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 83. And then the weekend forecast going to get down to about 66 on Friday night. Showers likely, possible a thunderstorm or two, just during the time that I'm planning on mowing my yard. So I'll probably have the goulashes and the raincoat on while I'm mowing because I got to get it done. High near 85 on Saturday. Sunday, a high of 85 with a few showers, scattered showers in the area. And kicking off the new week, Sunday, that'd be 85. And then Monday, we're looking again about 86. So there's your updated forecast from the WILO Weather Center. And it is good to be able to know that we got some sun sunshine happening. Now, speaking of sunshine, Charles Bookwalter joining me in the studio. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Shan. Thanks for having me on today.
Hey, I thank you for accepting my invitation, brother.
It was pretty easy to confirm when you told me the topic that we'd be discussing.
I know. I almost wished I had you on video phone or something, so I could see you.
You can see me smile.
I can definitely see, because I know this is a a subject dear to your heart, because you've studied. And first of all, just a little bit of your background. You're an Indiana guy. Mm-hmm. You grew up in the northern west sector of Indiana. You played, high school sports. You went off to college and you did your thing. And then you decided that you wanted to get involved in the armed forces. Mm-hmm. And that was because of 9/11, right?
It was, yeah. Like a lot of guys at that time and the age I was, when 9/11 occurred, I just had this really insatiable desire to serve my country. And when people ask me, sometimes I'd say, the insatiable desire to lead men in combat. I don't know what it was, but it was that draw and that pull that led me to pursue not just going into the Army, but going into the Army Special Forces, the Rangers, and testing myself in those situations and looking for the opportunity to actually serve in combat. When I got back from a couple combat deployments, when my wife was like, hey, I'm ready to go home, I kind of thought about my military career and thought, yeah, like I literally satisfied all the goals that I had. I was looking at year 10 and active duty, and that's kind of the time where you decide, I either make it a full-time career or not. I really didn't want to, but it was really that I had assessed it and determined, yeah, I really kind of satisfied all the things that I wanted to do in the military.
Yeah. How old were you when you decided to go into the military?
I was late. I had already graduated college. Yeah. I had had a professional career.
Yeah, you kind of did it reversed for the GI Bill.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly.
Because you kind of paid for all
and
your...
And they're very generous now with that GI Bill, and it didn't matter. I wasn't able to use it, frankly. But I had a professional career already started in sales, but it just didn't feel rewarding to me, particularly after 9/11. I was 29 years old, so I enlisted, so I didn't go as an officer, which with a college degree already, which most people don't do. With a college degree, you go into OCS, Officer Candidate School. I enlisted only because the U.S. Army Special Forces had a program where you could enlist off the street, and they were actually looking for older college grads because the U.S. Special Forces, in the active duty, you have to have already been an E5, so I have already had some experience and some understanding of the Army. So they were looking for a little bit more mature, older guys to go in. In fact, I think even still, the Army Special Forces, the average age is still much older than a typical infantryman or ranger.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, so you go into the military, and that's really too what I want to ask. Putting yourself in that position, because you've been in battle, you've been in situations, and we look back, because we're going to go back further than just American Revolution, because you have to really to get things started with the American journey, the American really the dream of the freedom and the liberty that these forefathers and mothers had. I'm sure you got to be thinking at when you saw what happened in 9/11, there was something that stirred your heart, that our way of life was being threatened. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes I look at that from our forefathers' perspective, is that they were looking for a different form. They were already in a life that was, basically restricted from liberty and the freedom of being able to worship and really do a lot of things because of the taxation and a lot of variety of different things that were going on at the time, even slavery. And almost every country was involved in slavery in that time.
Every country, every race.
Yeah. Every white, black. Yeah,
everyone's been a victim of slavery.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you and I, as believers of Christ, would agree that we've been slaves to sin, according to Scripture.
Of course.
But been free from that. But as your military mind, putting on that hat again, or keeping that hat on, what is going through your mind in battle? What are you really fighting for? I mean, what are some of the things that you're thinking about out on the battlefield? I'm sure family and all, but I'm not going to put words in your mouth. But what motivates you to do that?
Man, okay.
A lot to unpack. So
there is, but I think it's really pretty simple. As soon as you ask that question, the first thing that came to my mind, a few of these those firefights that I was in, just kind of Rolodex through my mind, and I hate to be cliche, but it reminds me of that quote from that Delta Force Ranger in a really good depiction of what the military is really like, which is Black Hawk Down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When he says, why do you do it? Why do you do it? And he says, because it's to the guys to the left and the right of me. And I got to tell you, when you're in the moment, it really is about survival.
Yeah.
And surviving and protecting the guys to the left and the right of you. It's one reason that in SF or in special operations, that goes across the board for all special operations, they teach us such basic fundamentals of knowing how to be a good soldier, so that you can rely on that person next to you. And there's a quote that they say in the teams that, and the reason I've used it in work now and in my own life, that that you got to show up and give your best every day. Otherwise, you'll find your bags in the hallway off the team. And it's the concept is that you're being tested every day, that you've been trained to a certain standard. And if you don't live up to that standard, you're dangerous on an ODA or on a team that is that serious and in that kind of situation, that if you haven't taken your training responsibly, if you don't do what you're supposed to do in that moment, then it could risk the lives of an entire detachment. And really, in the moment, that is what it's all about. Now, when you go back after a firefight and you're all high-fiving because everyone survived and you...
The armchair quarterback, yeah, going back.
Right, when you AAR it, or an after-action review,
okay.
Then, yeah, the other things can seep in that you've done your service to your country. When you reflect on it when you come home, you have those strong sentiments about serving your country and defending the rights and freedoms that we all live by and we sometimes take advantage of. But in the moment, I just don't mean to be cliche, but it literally is survival about protecting those, doing your job. A football analogy would be, I know it's not as serious, but being a defensive line or outside linebacker, if you don't
do your job,
if you don't have outside containment and they go outside of you, you could have given up a touchdown.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing on the teams to a heightened seriousness. Yeah.
And the strategery that goes on, of course, in battle and all of that. And I think it gets romanticized sometimes because you think of a soldier in the foxhole thinking about prolonged mindset of back home and wife or girlfriend or whatever. But you're saying in the heat of the battle,
in the middle
you're just trying to survive.
That's why when you see it's hard for guys that have been in it to watch some of these military movies, because they're completely unrealistic. I remember seeing just maybe a commercial or an advertisement for one where the troop was in the back of a GMV and in the middle of firefight, they're taking fire and everything, and he gets on a sat phone to call his wife.
Yeah, yeah.
That's completely ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
It's never going to happen. Yeah. So when you see that in a movie, you're like, that hurts me in my gut because
that's not military.
That's not what you do.
And because you're losing focus. Like to your point, you've got to be focused on the moment and the situation and the challenge.
It's very serious.
And as we kind of pivot now, and getting to know you more personally, and I want the folks to get to know you a little more personally because you're a big part of the American story on a more modern sense because you became that freedom fighter. You became that person representing liberty. And that's my question to you. What is liberty to you? What does liberty and freedom really mean to you?
I guess I hadn't really thought about to prepare, but, for me, it kind of is evolving what that means. 10 years ago, I might have said your individual right to choose what you want to do. But as I've become more aligned with the gospel and what Christ wants for us, this individual pursuit is not always, like we live under a certain set of objective and moral truths. And you are free. Through Jesus is what I've realized now. It's not through this pursuit of it being able to do what you want.
Well, it's liberty not through the government.
Right. Saying, it's not, liberty is not being able to do whatever you want to do. Liberty, in my estimation now, is choosing to live a life free of sin through the pursuit of Jesus. That's what sets you free and makes you free. It's not like, I can go out and pursue this lust in my life or pursue that. Yes, you can, but you are now trapped in a world that's going to cause you shame and misery and all these things. So it's the pursuit of the righteous, it's the pursuit of truth, and then it's living out that truth and righteousness in the pursuit of living a life in alignment with God's word and the pursuit of Jesus as your Savior.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when you think about, you know, the preamble of the Declaration of Independence, where life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, I think even in the founding fathers, I believe that there were people arguing for just what you were saying. Well, happiness is nothing. I mean, you got to have God. But then you had your other folks that may not be so much followers of Christ that were going, well, let's not make it about just God. Let's let the pursuit of happiness. Well, what is happiness to every human being is different.
Sorry to interrupt you, but when they were talking about pursuit of happiness, I think the debate at the time was the pursuit to acquire land and assets that make human beings free from a government imposition that controls all these things and then manipulates them, gives some to their friends and others, and they put you in a state of bondage, which is not what God wants from us.
Well, you can't pursue happiness if you have chains on.
Right.
And so I think that, that's exactly what they're saying. I do believe, though, that there was a lot of theological discussions going on in the background because, again, most of these men were Christians.
Yes.
And that is not debatable. I mean, if you really look at the writings, their prayers, and I know we're kind of starting to get an etch into some of this, but, you know, to your point about, you know, liberty, the opportunity, the gospel definition of liberty would be wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, you know, there is liberty. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, which means if you're being governed by something greater than yourself, if you're being governed by God through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have a conscience, a guardrail, you have things that's keeping you from things. And you know what? That God who created you also knows what's best for you.
Yeah. It's free from sin, free from shame, free from all.
And the consequences of.
Yeah. Yep. Which is most important. Which is most important.
Yeah, because it's not just the eternal consequences. It is the it's the ones that you make a choice and you go, you break the law. You make you're going to go to jail. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be those temporal consequences as well.
Yeah. Make a point of.
Yeah, because, I don't want to lose track. So.
Yeah, because someone that might be listening, when you just said we were established as a Christian nation, I mean, that they're just their head might have just hurt a little bit because there is a part of the nation that doesn't agree with that, what you just said, that doesn't believe that. And I just want to make the point and say that to a certain extent, okay, I'm not dismissing their argument.
There can
I'm
be
saying
both true.
I don't think the founders were trying to. I don't think. I'm very confident the founders were not trying to institute a church-run state government, and not all of them were Christian. Okay, not all of them were Christian, but many of them were. But what takes a bit of investigation and research is to understand that even those that were not Christians had a better understanding and lived under biblical Christianity or biblical principles than a lot of Christians today. So if you don't like the statement that we were formed as a Christian nation, okay, fine. But you can't deny the fact that many of them were Christian, that the concepts and principles were indeed biblical, including the three branches of government, the separation of powers, which came from Isaiah 33:22. And those that weren't Christian understood these biblical principles even better, and they implemented them within this system that they were developing.
Well, you can go back to John Calvin in talking about the Hebronic, you know, that period of some 400 years where there were no kings, the judges, you know, that was ruling from the time of Moses is the exodus of the people of Israel, and they survived pretty well until Again, Moses goes to Mount Sinai, and immediately they got to find a golden image. Yeah. Immediately they got to find something because they've just lost the person that was keeping them, the kind of the Spirit of God. Moses was representing the fellowship of God and the law of God, mm-hmm. and he goes away. He comes back, and he's like, I'm gone just for a few weeks, and look what have you guys done?
Yeah, no different than today.
Today, because when we abandon that, and I would say for us in this country, 1962, when the Supreme Court ruled, I really believe, and you can disagree. I'm okay. You can disagree. That's America. We talk. You and I don't agree. My wife and I don't agree on a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I'll watch out for the things that we don't agree on, so that we don't go down that rabbit hole today.
Yeah, we don't want to get into rabbit holes, but we have some great conversations off air. But the thing is that I think, when you think about a sermon kind of shaped the nation. I mean, John Calvin, as he's laying out these principles for, if the children of Israel could do it and they figured it out, and then yet, I think it's in Judges 17:25, I believe, that the point of the land got to where every man did what they wanted to and saw what was right in their own heart and did it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, There, my friend, is where the establishment of debauchery and everything. I mean, that's where it starts to going downhill. Because if I may not think the same. So we need to have that standard, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it brings up two things I think about. I'll try to make them pretty.
No, you're fine.
Concise. Okay.
If you can hang around, I think we're going to be okay. I'm not too sure we're going to have a 9 o'clock.
Okay, I got a lot of notes taken, so yeah. I can probably fill the space. But one, often a thing that come up with people that are on the periphery of Christianity, maybe non-believers, skeptics, or even early believers, is, and I know you know this, Shan, is they say, I just think that you just need to be a good person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, my response to them is, well, what's good?
Yeah.
And who defines good? Because the 20th century is rife with a lot of nations and people that thought what they were doing was good.
Yeah.
And if you believe in like evolution of the species and that people are getting better, we're this secular humanism, we're getting smarter.
Yeah,
and
why
better,
are we getting better?
Yeah, well, I would argue like the 20th century disproves that.
Yeah.
If that were the case, then why was this 20th century full of genocide and mass killing and just horrible things that human beings did to another? And that is this movement away from this idea that God is sovereign over all things, over the state, over the church, over your family, over your life. God is sovereign over all. And if you don't understand that or pursue that knowledge is what is good, that there is an objective moral truth and moral standing of what is good, then the secular humanists are going to determine that. They're going to make it up, and they're going to make up their definition of good.
Okay, we do have a guest, so we're going
okay.
to... Okay. Hey, but this is great, because we're gonna continue this next week, good Lord willing. If you can be back, we're going to be back. But I would absolutely agree with you that there's guardrails that need to be in place that keep us out of the situation. Because, again, if we're left to our own devices, again, reading in Judges chapter 17, that's saying, and the wheels fell off because and if you look at even the whole story of the Bible, God's people constantly, they're close to him, and then they get away from him. And then they come back, and they repent, and then God has to bring them back. And it's just a constant, mm-hmm. and that's the way it is in our own lives, is that God's constantly wooing us and trying to. And I think when we look at the forefathers and what's going on in America, and they had those same, I believe, Holy Spirit-inspired thoughts to know and recognize if we're really going to live in a free nation, we still have to be governed by something. So we're going to govern ourselves, but there has to be a higher consciousness. There has to be a conviction of something that governs us. And therefore, they utilize that.
No doubt. That's why the founders were... This is the idea that they were using when they wanted to limit a government and have these three separate branches of government. They knew, and even we talked about the non-Christians like Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah.
Benjamin Franklin cited Psalms 127:7, that it has to be built on the house of the Lord. And he understood that, and the reason was, and he said this in his address to the Constitutional Convention, a good government cannot rest on human wisdom alone. And I think that's the ultimate debate that we're talking about here is, who governs or who establishes what's good for society? Is it God's law or is it secular humanist law?
Yeah.
And history has proven, in my estimation, what I've read,
yeah,
is that secular humanism is not good. It leads to genocide and all kinds of horrible things because we justify in our own mind what we do. We are completely depraved. That is a concept that the founders put into the Constitution. Mm. They have to have separations of powers, and it has to limit human depravity because humans getting into these roles will usurp all this power. They will oppress one another. They will hurt each other. This is justified in 1 Samuel when Samuel goes to God and says they want a God.
They want a king.
Yeah. And he says, it's not because of you, Samuel,
yeah,
but tell them that this is what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
And he lays out what we're living right now.
Right.
Literally what we're living when you make humans the moral authority and not God as moral authority.
Yeah, because even when you go back to the Supreme Court and you have the rules of those nine justices that make the supreme law of the land, or they either stamp it or they deny it, they approve it or deny it as it comes to them. I don't think I want to rely on their wisdom, and that's why I think it's so important. Symbology, where you're seeing the symbols that are on the walls of a variety of incredible buildings that are in Washington and in our country. They all point towards a higher being. They all point to God. They all point to a theocracy of governing in our country that we want to ignore. Because why we want to ignore it? Because we don't like to be told what
to
do.
That's right. Yeah. And frankly, it's probably because we want to justify our own bad behavior.
Yeah.
We're ashamed of what we've done, and we don't want to have to answer and repent to that higher power for what we've done. And it reminds me, what you, as Christians, it's in Acts 5:29. We must obey God rather than men. So like you just said about those Supreme Court justices, they can say what they will, but if it denies the authority of God and goes against biblical authority, then Christian people must resist this.
Well, and immediately I can hear people say, well, what about Romans 13 when you're talking about you got to obey the authority? Yeah, but even Paul says, unto the point of supersedes all of that. God's authority.
Right. And if it doesn't punish, to what point? Well, if it doesn't punish evil, then that is not God's authority. That breaks Romans 13. If it's not lifting the good, exalting the good, and punishing evil,
that's a bad government.
That's a bad government, and it should be resisted.
Amen. And I think that's what our forefathers were doing in that moment.
I agree.
And I believe that's what's, I know, we got to get going. All right, brother. Tuesday, we're going to come back next Tuesday, if you can. That'd be great. 8:30, same time, same bat channel. And we want to continue. We're going to talk about a little bit more about the origins of the Puritans. I would like to get into some of that, the pre-revolution, how it was set up, why we ended up with this form of government. I'd like to talk about that. So that'd be your homework.
Okay, you got it. I got a week.
You got a week.
Thanks, Shannon.
All right, brother. God bless you. Have a great day. Charles Bookwalter, we really appreciate Charles being with us today. And he's going to be kind of my co-host, my co-pilot for the next couple, 3 weeks as we talk about America and its origins and celebrating 250 years. It's been a challenge, folks. It has been a challenge. Can we hold it? Benjamin Franklin said, "Lady, we have given you a republic." And then the famous statement was, "Can you keep it?" That's the question. Well, that's still the question for us today. We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk all things Purdue Extension. It's Party Line on WILO.